Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning.
Good morning. Janice?
Hey. No, this is Eddie.
Well, I know, but Janice is on here somewhere, I think. Maybe not.
Let's hope so. Maybe she's getting another cup of coffee.
Well, yeah, I don't know where. I thought I saw her number a minute ago. The problem that we've got is that when we set this thing up, it went live about 2 minutes ago.
Oh, it did? Oh.
Yeah, somebody scheduled it for the wrong time. So, hold on, there's Janice now. Janice?
Yeah. Hi.
Hi. Just so you know, I just told Eddie that when I came on here, this show was already live.
Okay, that was, I didn't know how to set it up, so I just made it live immediately. Sorry.
Okay, well, so whatever we're saying, be careful with, because...
we're just about ready to start, so how you doing, Eddie?
I'm doing superbly, my friend.
Sorry for the confusion this morning. Our great technical person, Beth McHugh, if anyone's listening, is on vacation this week, and I forgot to schedule the show while she was gone. So we had a little bit of confusion this morning, but I think we're good now. It is just about 9:58, so I think it's okay to start. Why don't I do my usual lead-in, and then Eddie will introduce you and get started in a few minutes.
Very good. I'm ready.
I'd like to welcome all of our listeners to America's Great Loop Cruisers Association's weekly blog radio show. With us, as usual, is Steve Cromer, and I'm Janice Cromer, and I basically do customer service, as does Steve. Missing this week, as you all know, is Beth McHugh. She basically does the scheduling of the radio shows. And we miss you, Beth. Can't wait till you're back next week.
No more vacation for Beth.
Excuse me?
No more vacation for Beth.
No more vacation for Beth. Before we get started with the show, I would like to thank publicly and introduce our Admiral sponsors, Curtis Stokes and Associates, Dog River Marina, Dozier's Regatta Point, Dozier's Waterway Guides, Passage Maker Trauma Fest, and Skipper Bob Publications. AGLCA, as we call ourselves, is an organization of people who share a sense of adventure and camaraderie about America's Great Loop. For those not familiar with the loop, there is actually a continuous waterway that circles the eastern portion of North America. Our association was formed to disseminate information about this awesome journey. For those wishing to learn more about the Great Loop, we invite you to visit our website at www.greatloop.org. Non-members can join the association at that site, or anyone can sign up for one of our new one-day seminars. They're designed to give you a wealth of information about this cruising lifestyle that is the Great Loop. Our guest host this week is Eddie Johnson. Eddie and his wife, Linda, have been AGLCA members since 2006, and they completed their loop just about a year ago. If you were at our fall rendezvous last week, or if you are a participant in our discussion forum, you know that Tom Conrad has retired from his weather musings. Eddie has been handpicked by Tom to take over with his weather wags, and also the vastly popular seminars on the Gulf Crossing that are an integral part of our fall rendezvous. Eddie, welcome. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be here, Janice.
Thank you. I'd like to tell all of our listeners before we start that if you have a question or a comment about Eddie's plans, you can call into our toll-free number, 877-497-1815, during the show. Eddie, again, thank you so much. I know this was kind of short notice for you.
Yeah, not a problem. We're just screwing around a bit here down on the Gulf Coast this week, getting ready to do our crossing in another 10 or 12 days, we hope.
Well, as I told everyone, Eddie was at our fall rendezvous and did a great seminar. We're all just kind of relaxing and recovering from that event, which was great. But, Eddie, where exactly are you now?
Well, Linda and I live near Pensacola, a little town just to the east called Navarre. All of our loopers will be actually passing pretty right by our house as they travel eastbound towards Carabel and places beyond.
So you're actually right on the water?
Well, yeah, about 100 yards from the water, Janice. We had...
And before we get started, I should ask, is Linda able to join us today?
She is not. She is in Fort Walton Beach today doing various extenuous chores in preparation for our departure next week.
And I wish you a safe crossing. Why don't you tell us about your former career? I believe you were a pilot and in the military?
Yes, I was. Oh, gosh, many, many, many years ago, after I graduated from college, I went into the Air Force and had a wonderful, we had a wonderful career, 20 years on active duty with the Air Force. And I was a pilot, so I pretty much came out of a 20-year career there and went right into working for the airlines for 15 years until I retired about going on 4 years ago now.
What was the largest plane you flew? I mean...
Oh, gosh. I was in all kinds of what they called 135s. Basically, people have been around long enough will remember the Boeing 707. That was the plane that I flew the most in the Air Force.
Uh-huh. And commercially, what routes did you fly? Or was it varied?
Oh, it was very varied. In fact, I can proudly say that I have literally flown around the world, not at all at one time,
uh-huh.
but going both eastbound and westbound, I have crossed my paths over the years when I was in the Air Force. But my flying in the airline business had me staying, for the most part, right here in North America.
Do you miss flying, or do you still do it on a pleasure basis?
I do miss it somewhat, but I have no desire at all to go back into flying either as a career or, quite frankly, as for pleasure. I did it for 35 years, and I figured that was enough. And now I am concentrating immensely on becoming the best boater that I possibly can.
Well, I'm going to get that into that in a minute or two. But tell us about your interest in weather. When did that happen, and how did you gain your knowledge?
Well, that's funny, Janice, that you asked that. You know, as a professional pilot, both in the Air Force and in the airline industry, pilots are required at least on a yearly basis to have some type of refresher training from that's separate from the initial training that they get when they become pilots, whether they become pilots in the Air Force or whether they do it in the civilian world and get their licenses. You're required to get some recurrent training every year, and it's mostly just refresher stuff, you know, refreshing of the basics. And that's how I, became interested, if you will, in weather, because it was so important to us in the flying field. But and how that transfers to what we're doing now as boaters, weather forecasting and weather prediction and just weather, looking at all the weather data as a knowledgeable person about weather can be quite daunting and create quite a task on yourself. So consequently, for us boaters who are doing the Great Loop, perhaps for the first time or even the second time, looking at all that weather data that's out there as we prepare to cross the Gulf of Mexico or whether we intend to go out into the Atlantic on the East Coast, it can be an unsurmountable task to glean information that's useful to us. So with that in mind, that's why I decided that it would be very useful to look at weather from a boater's perspective, and in particular a user's perspective.
I know. I mean, I never understood how much was involved in predicting the weather or following the forecast. Steve took a Steve, what was it called with the that the Power Squadron? Is it called weather, of course?
Yep. It's called
Simply Weather, and he enjoyed it tremendously, but it was very detailed and very complicated, much more so than I would have thought. Did you go to a formal school, Eddie, or did you just learn it on your own, or what was your path of knowledge?
Well, actually, my first exposure to it was many years ago when I was a teenager. You know, as you get your private pilot's license, you do have to take courses that specialize in, specifically in weather. And as Steve, it sounds like Steve was alluding to there, you know, it is quite intimidating because weather has a language all of its own, just like boating has a language all of its own, as does flying. So you have to learn that lingo, if you will. And if, like any other skill, if you aren't exposed to that lingo, if you're not exposed to all the intricacies of weather analysis, it gets to be quite a chore. So that's pretty much why I decided to help out here, help our fellow boaters interpret the what I call the plethora of information that's out there, especially in the age of the Internet.
Okay, if you don't mind, Eddie, I think now would be a good time to stop for a commercial from one of our Commander sponsors, Saunders Yacht Works.
Well, first I got to find it. There it is.
With its beginnings in marine diesel engine service more than 50 years ago, Saunders Yacht Works has evolved its focus into the yachting industry and now operates two full-service boatyards in coastal Alabama. Saunders specializes in propulsion engine repowers, interior remodels, and overall vessel refits. The company's skilled employee group ranges from certified diesel service technicians to master craftsmen in marine carpentry, paint, and fiberglass. Customer service representatives at the Gulf Shores and Orange Beach locations are ready to help with any questions or service needs. Call 251-981-3700 or visit saundersyacht.com. Saunders Yacht is a proud Commander sponsor of AGLCA.
Okay, Eddie, why don't you kind of tell us how you switched from piloting and got into boating?
Well, I've always been involved with boating since I was in high school. In fact, I was one of those cases where my father made a deal with me. He said that when I was like 14 years old, a couple of years before I could even get my driver's license, he said that if I took a Coast Guard approved boating course and passed their test, that I could go ahead and use the family boat, which was stored in a local marina up on a rack, so it made it very convenient. So I did. I took the Coast Guard Auxiliary Boating Course, passed it, and I was able to, on my own, go and use our boat when I wanted to, which made it pretty cool for a 14-year-old because, you know, as I said, I couldn't drive a car. But here in the Fort Walton Beach area where I grew up, you could get to just about any place in town via boat. So that was kind of cool.
And you were 14? My goodness. Fantastic.
Yes, ma'am.
So obviously boating isn't a new interest. It's been with you most of your life.
Yes, it has. And I started sailing when I was in college, when I was about 19 years old. I started learning how to sail and then doing competitive racing, sailboat racing. Linda and I, after we got married, we eventually wound up in Hawaii, where we bought our first sailboat and sailed extensively over there in the islands, got our blue water experience. I'm proud to say that Linda actually became very involved with a group called the Wet Hens, which is a group of women who, back in those days, USYRU was the dominating figure in organization in training sailing instructors. She became a sailing instructor and taught several women how to sail. Women teaching women, basically, was the whole emphasis of that group. Since then, we own two other sailboats here along the Gulf Coast, the last of which we lost in Hurricane Ivan several years back. So we were boatless for about 2 years, kind of looking more seriously at another replacement boat. And we just kind of stumbled into into the trawler life. And we, like I say, we went over to the dark side, went from sailing to being trawler owners. So haven't looked back since.
What kind of boat do you have now, Eddie?
We have a Grand Banks 36 Classic. She's a 1991.
Oh.
The previous owner kept her in pristine condition right behind his house, and I made a promise to him to try to maintain his level of mechanical running and the aesthetically pleasing eye that is cast upon her. She's a real beauty, and we really, really enjoy her. A perfect boat for doing the loop as far as we were concerned.
Okay, tell us about your loop. When did you first learn about the loop?
Oh, gosh. I think we first learned about the loop probably around 2005. A friend of ours who was also a sailor just kind of told us one day that he was thinking about buying a trawler. He was a sailor also. And I said, well, what is a trawler? And he told me what a trawler was and showed me. And then we said, well, why would you want to go from sailing to getting a trawler? And that's when, like I said, in 2005, he told me about the Great Loop and his desire to do the Great Loop. That was really how we learned about it. And so consequently, the following year, we joined AGLCA so that we could learn more about the Great Loop and perhaps get some confidence from the people who had already done the loop and the people who were looping, get some confidence from those folks so that we could perhaps someday do it. And as you said earlier, we finally did complete the loop ourselves.
I was going to say that I shouldn't say most, but in very many of the couples that I've met, it just seems like one of the couple is really interested in the loop and the other is the reluctant spouse. But with Linda's background, it sounds like she's as adventuresome as you are. So I would imagine you were both totally for it.
Yes, we were. And I think your observation is very astute. And I have to agree with you that our experience with AGLCA over the years now, that is very much the case, Janice, where one spouse or the other isn't really on board with it, so to speak. We were very fortunate that both of us have a passion for boating, and we have become to embrace the looper lifestyle. So we hope to be AGLCA members for many years to come, and hope to be able to stay out on the water with our boat spiritus and continue to meet loopers for years to come.
We welcome you and wish you stay forever. If you don't mind, give us a little bit of background on how you met the Conrads.
Oh,
I'm sorry, that would be Tom and Patsy.
Yes,
Tom just retired from his Tom's Weather Musings, and Tom Conrad basically handpicked Eddie and got him involved. So tell us how you got to know the Conrads.
Well, we're like a lot of loopers over at least the past 6 or 7 years have gotten to know Tom and Patsy through Tom's Weather Musings. So we knew of the Conrads, and we were down in the west, on the west coast of Florida, at one of our favorite spots, a little town called Dunedin, and we got a knock on the side of the hull one day, and it was the Conrads. They had stopped by. I think they were actually traveling by land at that time, in a car. But as they are known to do, whenever they're settled in for the afternoon or evening someplace, they'll go down to the local marina and see if they can see any of those AGLCA burgees flying. And they saw ours. Yes. And that's how we first got to know them. That was several years ago. And we had the pleasure of, after that, doing some cruising with them through South Florida. Of course, Tom and his wife live very close to us here in the Pensacola area, over in Perdido Key. So we've also gotten the pleasure of visiting them over at their house a couple times. So that's how we got to know them.
You know, I'm taking a lot for granted here. I apologize to any of our listeners that may not be members and know what we're talking about when we say Tom's Weather Musings and Eddie's Weather Wags. Part of the Great Loop is crossing the Gulf of Mexico, which can be very intimidating. You can either go across or you can go around the border of the southern United States, which can be problematic. But in any case, it's big water to cross. In most cases, it's an overnight crossing, and weather is a huge factor in the Gulf. As is happening this week, the weather on land around the Gulf is beautiful, but out on the Gulf itself, it's nasty. Tom took it upon himself for 6 years to study the weather and post to our boaters every morning with his recommendation on whether it was a good idea to cross or his recommendation on to wait. Eddie is taking over that chore, and he'll be posting in the mornings or whenever he feels appropriate to help our boaters, loopers, and anybody who would like to join the association make the decision of whether to cross or not. Eddie, is that pretty much what you're doing?
Thank you, Janice. That's spot on. That is exactly, I think, how Tom would have explained it as well. And I might add here, Janice, too, for all of our listeners out there, both loopers, gold loopers, and for those who are thinking about joining AGLCA, Tom and I both share very similar philosophies as to why we do the weather musings or the weather wags. And I want to point out to everyone out there that neither Tom nor I are meteorologists. We are not those guys on TV that you see on the evening news that are your local meteorologists. We do not predict weather, and contrary to many beliefs of some people out there, we do not decide what the weather is. Tom and I have just taken the data that is supplied by NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. We've taken data that is produced on a daily basis, and we look at it as it pertains specifically to the area where loopers will cross, generally the Big Bend area of Florida, between Carrabelle and Tarpon Springs. We like to look at that data that's provided by NOAA, and many of our current loopers and gold loopers already know there are various private enterprises out there who are into They set up programs that we can look at, WeatherTap, weather findings, WindFinder, various group or various organizations or, that you can look at online. Everyone has their own preference of who they use. What I might point out is that all of those companies basically get their data from NOAA. And so it's those companies that are online, they're interpreting this NOAA data as well. Tom and I have our favorite sites. Some of them are the same. I use some of the ones that Tom has used, and then I have some that he doesn't. But basically what we do is we look at those various sites, and quite frankly, Janice, we try to find three or four that agree with one another as to what the weather's going to be, and then we try to get that word out to our membership.
That's funny that you mentioned that, Eddie. Steve and I, when we're cruising, have two different favorite weather sites that we use. And while they're usually similar, but they're never in total agreement, so I know what you speak of. I should make a point that neither Eddie nor Tom, as he said, are professional meteorologists. AGLCA definitely isn't. We can advise and we can suggest, but it's always up to the captain of the boat to make the final decision. The captain is responsible for his crew and his boat, and the decision is always yours, captain. So listen and take advice if you want to, but it's your decision. And just one other couple really quick questions. It's quite an undertaking to do these daily postings and make the commitment. Why are you so dedicated? That is, it's fantastic, but we thank you and give us your reasoning.
Well, I'd like to be able to say I don't have anything more constructive to do at 5 o'clock in the morning. Truly,
sleeping would work.
What was that, Steve?
Sleeping might work.
Linda would wholeheartedly agree with you there. Unfortunately, I think I'm like most of our listeners that have reached that age where sleeping after 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning is a luxury that you would love to have. But unfortunately, I think all those 15 years I spent in the airline industry as well, when I was at work, I was always getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning so we could make those 6 o'clock departures out of Detroit or South Bend or Memphis or wherever we happened to be sleeping that night. I think I got into that habit pattern of just getting up that early. So, but in all seriousness, we've spent quite a bit of time with the Conrads, and last winter we were all down, Linda and I and Patsy and Tom were down in South Florida, and Tom just basically asked me one day what I thought about taking over his musings this fall, because he felt like it was probably time for him to sleep in late, and I'm happy to report that he's told me that he has been able to sleep in late since relinquishing those duties. And I said I'd think about it, but before that I did that, I would like to, run some trials with his forecast. This was back in the winter before he quit his musings. Uh-huh. And so I got up in the mornings, and I also would look at the weather data, the weather interpretations, the NOAA data, and see if I could come up with the same conclusion that Tom would come up with. And I guess I did okay, because he obviously gave me his blessing. I can't remember, but a couple instances where I said, no, I don't think so. And Tom said, yeah, it'll be okay. I kind of erred on the side of I'm cautious. I'm kind of a chicken when it comes to that Gulf weather crossing stuff. So I'm a little more conservative, perhaps. But he assured me that I'd do just fine. So I agreed then to go ahead and take over this fall if he decided that he did indeed want to retire. And I'm just proud and pleased that he did ask me to do this. And I look at this as almost like a community service activity, giving back to your community. In this case, my community, or being the AGLCA, it's nice to be able to do something to give back to the organization that means so much to Linda and I.
Well, we thank you. We have a minute or two left in the show. Can you just give our listeners, mostly our members, obviously, some kind of an idea of when you think you'll be posting each day? I want to make sure they sign. And again, if you don't know how to sign up for Eddie's Weather Wags so you get them in your mailbox, when they're posted, not in the next day's Daily Digest, please read your form this morning. I post it again, or let me know. Eddie, what time do we need to get up to listen to or read your posting?
Well, I am currently up at 5 o'clock in the morning, going to continue to do that. I have Steve and I were talking at the rendezvous, and my original intention and promise to the group that was at the rendezvous that I would start posting the Weather Wag no later than November 1st. However, it became apparent after the rendezvous that we had already gotten several members down to the coast who did not attend the rendezvous, and that they were probably getting ready to cross the Gulf before November 1st. So actually since this past Monday, I have been posting the Weather Wag, and I'll continue to go ahead and do that for the group. So basically, we've already gone ahead and started it.
And it seems to come in right around 6 or 7 in the morning, I think.
Yes, ma'am. I'm trying to do what Tom did. We do have some boaters who have bigger boats than Spiritus, that are bigger than a Grand Banks 36. Generally speaking, boats that weigh in, above 15 tons, that have more than the 5 feet of bow clearance from the water that Spiritus has. We do have some larger boats out there who can get up and go, that can get up early in the morning at sunrise there at Curabel and start heading out and actually make a day crossing. So I'm trying to get up early enough to where those people feel comfortable after reading the Weather Wag that they could go ahead and cross during the day. However, most of our boaters, as you know, are slow boats like ours, and wait until the afternoon to depart Carabel to make a night crossing.
Sure.
So by 6 o'clock in the morning, that's what I'm shooting for.
Well, thank you. It's time to close off now. I can't thank you enough, Eddie. This is such a great service you're doing to our boaters, and thank you, Tom, for doing it for years. And also want to publicly thank the wives. Patsy, you were a great support and are a great support to Tom and Linda. I know it kind of interrupts your morning coffee when Eddie's up there listening or posting and studying all the weather. So we thank you for your dedication to AGLCA. And Eddie, especially thanks for being on the show today. Keep in touch. Everyone out there, have safe cruising, and stay well. That's it for now. Thank you, Eddie.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.